Welcome to the MRBC podcast. Let's join guest evangelist Mark Cahill for part two of his message on families and evangelism.
Perfect blood sacrifice. Okay, let me explain this to you real quick. Show you how to use it when you're witnessing, and then we're done, okay? Remember when you're chatting with people, the number one answer people give you on how I'm get to heaven is I'm a what? Good person. So they're basing everything on what? Works. Okay, so somehow I have to chop that tree down that works can't be the answer. Okay, now, simple. We teach in all five books. The little booklets teach you the same thing. You just use the law of God. You use the Ten Commandments. Right? And you say, have you ever told a lie before? What's to make you a liar? Stole something, a thief? Lust in your heart? Same as committing adultery in your heart. So we just break that tree down. But you're still going to have people think that their good works are going to cover their bad deeds. Okay, or it's a weighing scale, and it's going to outweigh them and do that, all right? So we still have to chop more of that tree down, and this is a very simple, perfect blood sacrifice. So use the law, then we talk about sin with them through the law and do that. So if you go before a judge doesn't let you off for being good, right? He expects us to be good. Right? Don't judges. They expect us to be good. They don't let you off for being good. They expect you to be good. You're only standing in front of the judge because you broke the law somehow. You've done something wrong. So if you've done something wrong, you need a mediator that's going to help you in this situation to get you out of the situation. Okay? So basically what you need when you stand in front of a judge in Ohio is you need your charges dropped. Right? You just need them dropped. And if they're dropped, you can walk out the door and go scot-free and do that. So as believers, what I need is I need my charges dropped in front of the eternal judge. Right, so I need my sins washed away and gone, so then I have no charges against the holy God I'm standing in front of. Okay, now this is all going to fit together for you. Okay, so go to Ezekiel 18. Have your Bibles ready. We're going to bounce through a couple verses. So how do we get those sins removed? How are we going to get them away in front of this judge? Remember, perfect blood sacrifice. Go to Ezekiel 18. Okay, go to Ezekiel 18. So if you mark these up in your Bible, underline these verses, they're just going to help you so much as you get this in your arsenal. And I'll show you in a second how you use it when you witness, and it's just going to help you so much, okay? But it's going to help your personal walk, too, on why we trust the Lord and do this. Ezekiel 18, go to verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine, and the soul that sinneth, it shall what? Die. Death is going to, I tell people all the time, I won't die in a car accident tonight. I will not die in a plane accident tomorrow going back to Atlanta. I will die because of the sins I've committed. Okay. The question, though, is after I've taken that last breath, where am I going for all of eternity? That's the question we're going to wrestle with, okay? But so I know all souls that sin are going to die. We need a mediator somehow. Go to 1 Timothy, okay? So pop up to 1 Timothy. So be ready to bounce here. We're going to go through a bunch of stuff here. Go to 1 Timothy 2. And I'm going to say verse 5, but let's start in verse 4. And verse 4 says, so it's 1 Timothy 2, 4 and 5, if you're taking notes, but definitely verse 5, verse 4. Who have all men to be saved. How many men? All men. Does God desire everybody in Ohio to repent of their sins and get born again and saved? Yes or no? Okay, this defeats the thought that God is pre-selecting who goes to heaven and pre-selecting who goes to hell. This is unbiblical, and it's a teaching that's running through our churches now, our seminaries now, the youth today. Be very careful. God desires every soul to be saved. Every soul has sinneth. He died on the cross for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2:2, okay? So careful. Don't let that get into you there as well, because we've seen many people get into that teaching and stop sharing their faith. That all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, I want truth. What's truth? Very next verse. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So God has given us a mediator. It's the man Christ Jesus. Okay, now go to Revelation 20. Perfect blood sacrifice. Go to Revelation 20. I know I'm a sinner. I've got a mediator, Christ. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, okay? So my works, my evil deeds, okay, makes me wrong before a holy God. Somehow, some way, I've got to get rid of these evil deeds, okay, so I can be right before a holy God. How can that happen? All I have to do is go back and look at the Old Testament. But what's the Old Testament say? You have a pattern there, okay? What happened in the Old Testament? The repentant sinner brought before God a perfect animal without defect or blemish, okay? So they brought forth the lamb, okay? They took the animal to the tent of the meeting. So they take the lamb. It couldn't be a lamb with a broken leg. It couldn't be a retarded lamb. It couldn't be a lamb with different color coat. It had to be the perfect white. It had to be the perfect lamb that you had. You put your hands on the lamb in front of the tent of meeting at the doorway, basically. You laid your hands. You confessed your sins, and it went onto the lamb. And then the throat was cut, the shedding of the blood. And when the blood was remissed, okay, the animal would be slain at the doorway. Then the priest would take the blood, collect the blood, and then he would put it on the altar, okay? He would put it on the altar, or on the Day of Atonement, they'd put it on the mercy seat, okay? And God would see atonement had been made for the sin, and these were necessary. Perfect blood sacrifice in order for you to be right before a holy God. So we have the pattern in the Old Testament, all right? And when he saw the atonement there, then we were fine. Everything was fine. So that the sacrifice had to be sinless, nothing but a sinless sacrifice. So if both of, let's say two of us stood in front of God on Judgment Day, and hey God, someone's standing here, and say, hey God, I'm gonna take Mark's sins, because I'm already dying and going to hell, because I've thrown my life away and stuff, I'm gonna take Mark's sins and I'll just take his, so you can send him to heaven and I'll take his sins and I'll go to hell. It could never happen, because that person wouldn't be a, what? Perfect blood sacrifice for the sin. So you can't take it for someone. You can't take someone else's punishment and do that, all right? So we need a sinless sacrifice. It has to be sinless, or it cannot be the perfect blood sacrifice. Go to Hebrews 4. Okay, this is very important. You understand this. Go to Hebrews 4 and go to verse 14. There's another lie sweeping around out here. Okay, in the end of days. Hebrews 4, go to verse 14, and it says, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed on into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched, feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as like as we were, yet without what? Sin. This is huge. They're trying to make this Jesus into a sinful being. And some of the new things that are coming out, some of these crazy fiction books that are coming out, and they're trying to make Jesus, trying to take him out of his deity again and drop him back to, this is a man who walked here and he sinned like all the rest of us, and he died on that cross for that and do that, okay? It doesn't work that way, okay? He's sinless. The scriptures say that. If he's not sinless, then he could not be the perfect what? Blood, sinless sacrifice. He couldn't be it for us and do that. All right, go to Exodus 12. Watch what it says in the Old Testament, Exodus 12. And go to verse 5. It all fits together. Once you look at the Old and New Testament, very important when you share with Jewish people, this is one of the things you do with them. Exodus 12, verse 5. Okay, and it says, your lamb shall be without what? Blemish. A male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. A lamb without blemish. Go to 1 Peter 1. Let's see if we can find a lamb without blemish. Because if we can't, we're in serious trouble the moment we meet the Most High God. 1 Peter 1. Go to verse 19. 1 Peter 1. Watch this. Okay, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without what? Blemish and without spot. God is saying, I've given you the perfect blood sacrifice, okay? But that'll be my son, Jesus Christ. There's no blemish in him, and then you'll be okay in front of me on that day if you receive it, all right? Someone is sinless, they have to pay. So that means that God has to be willing to die for our sins, the sacrifice for those sins. You know Romans 6:23, for the wages of Sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, okay? So even if I was a murderer and I was forgiven of the murder, does a murderer still have the conscience though? Would they still remember the sin they've committed? Yes, I have five letters at home from a serial killer. David Berkowitz, the Son of Sam killer. He's written me five times from a prison in New Jersey. He's reading my books in a prison in New Jersey. And he can be forgiven of those sins, but does his conscience still remember the killing of the six people? Yes or no? Of course it does. It won't get there. So somehow that has to be gone. And that's the last point, and that comes to the blood, okay? We all have blood in our body, and the blood brings oxygen and nourishment to us. But what a lot of people don't know is blood is actually a cleanser. It cleanses our body of toxins and impurities that would kill us. And when the blood stops flowing through us and taking the impurities and getting it out of our system, if that blood doesn't flow right and take the toxins out, you will die. Okay? It's actually a cleanser, and people don't know that. And the blood of Christ does the same thing. Faith in his blood will be cleansing us of all of our sins. God has designed the blood in our body for the perfect picture of what we need there and do that, all right? All right, so three more verses, then I'll give you an example and we're done for you. Go to Leviticus 17. Make sure you underline this verse. Make sure you highlight this verse. Make sure you use this verse, Leviticus 17. Use it with Jews. Use it with anybody you witness with. Leviticus 17, verse 11. Okay? Leviticus 17. Verse 11, and watch what it says. For the life of the flesh, Leviticus 17, 11, for the life of the flesh is in the what? The blood. That's where the life comes from. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for that it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. So that's what's going to cleanse us, the blood of Christ to do that. Go to Hebrews 9. That's Old Testament. Now watch New Testament. Hebrews 9, the Old and New Testament fit so perfect together, okay? Go to Hebrews chapter 9. And it says in Hebrews 9, verse 14, Hebrews 9, 14. And it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, which through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That's how you get cleansed by the blood of Christ. Go to Revelation 1, and we'll show you how it fits together. Revelation 1, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through, that's 1 Peter. Revelation 1, sorry. Revelation 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings and of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own what? Blood. So you have to have the perfect blood sacrifice. Okay, let's put it to the test. Baptism. Can baptism get me to heaven? No, it's just water washed me off, and it's not the perfect what? Blood. There's no blood there sacrificed. Do that. A purgatory. Okay? What religious system will tell you purgatory? Roman Catholics, okay? I grew up Roman Catholic, and I knew something was wrong. Back in the day, I'm in a Catholic church one day, and a pope had died, and they said, we need to pray for the repose of the soul of Pope so-and-so so they gets out of purgatory. I was just a young kid. I was a teenager, and I'm sitting in the church. I'm saying, hold up. I said, hold up. I said, in my head, I said, if the main man didn't get right to heaven, what about this sinful little teenager? I said this in my head. I said, something wasn't right. And it was one of the first pops in my head that something's wrong here, okay? And I need to find truth here, okay? Purgatory, it's sinful. You still have sins, right? And what is it called? The flames of purgatory. See, it's not the perfect blood sacrifice. The flames can't cleanse you of your sin. What about confession? Can confessing my sins get rid of my sin? No, it's a sinful person trying to tell me I'm rid of my sins. That's not a perfect blood sacrifice. What about church membership? Can that get me to heaven? No, because it's not a perfect blood sacrifice. Mormons will tell you the atonement was in the garden. When Jesus was in the garden, that's actually what atones for your sins. It's part of Mormonism, okay? But they have the wrong Jesus, right? And there's a saying in Mormonism called, as man is, God once was, And as God is, man may become, or man will one day be. They believe God over earth was once a man who attained godhood. Okay? Then one day in the future, Mormons can actually attain godhood and be gods over another planet. Okay, so that's their false teaching, becoming a god, because they have it wrong. But this isn't, if man became God, then it's not a sinless, because for all have sinned. You see, we got another huge problem here, okay? The five pillars of Islam. Islam believes you have a good angel on one shoulder, writes every good deed you do. Bad angel, others, writes every bad deed you do. They get flopped on a scale in front of Allah when you die. Tilts towards good, paradise. Tilts towards bad, paradise. All based upon what? Works. What don't you have there? A perfect blood sacrifice to get you there, okay? Suffering. Can suffering and go through suffering get you to heaven? I'm trying to think of her name, and I can't think of it, but she's one of the leaders of the Philippines, and she was in a Catholic church, and she started in the back on her knees, and she walked on her knees all the way to the front of the Catholic church. She was, I can't think of her name right now. And it was public. It was on the internet or TV back in the day. And just had her walk. Because she thought the suffering, going through that pain, was going to get rid of her sins to be right before God. No. That's not a perfect blood sacrifice. Can good works get you there? No, because it's not a perfect blood sacrifice, okay? All right, last verse for you. And you know this one, but go to Isaiah chapter 1. And now it all comes into clear. When you especially read this verse now, I read this verse differently now once I learn this about the perfect blood sacrifice. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. And it's the famous verse, you all know it. But now think about it a little differently here. And go to verse 18. And it says, Isaiah 1, verse 18, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as what? Snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." See, the sins have to be washed away, but the only way to wash it away is by the perfect blood sacrifice. Okay? 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I'm speaking in North Carolina. Restaurant on a Saturday night, and I started talking with the owner a bit, and Guillaume was his name, and so I was traveling by myself and speaking the next day, so he just said, I'm going to eat with you. So he just pops down at my table and eats with me, and he's the owner, I guess he could do it. And so he sits down, he's Jewish. He said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Why are the Jews the most persecuted people on planet Earth?" You know, Jews think that way. I look at him and said, "It's easy." He stared at me. He said, "Easy?" See, they think Hitler. They think Haman. They think the Middle East today, 2014. Why are we so? I said, "It's easy. Two simple reasons, Guillaume." He said, "What are those?" I said, "One, the Bible says that the oracles of God, the teachings of God, were going to come from the Jews. So they were going to write down the teachings as the scribes, and so we could have the Word of God in 2014. In Guillaume, it's called a Bible. So Satan was trying to get the Jews and get to them and get them off track so we couldn't get the Word of the oracles of God in 2014, the scriptures say. I said, the other reason, I said, Guillaume, is because the Mashiach, the Messiah, is coming from the Jews. And Satan was always trying to chop the Jews out of the way so the Messiah, Mashiach, the line, wasn't going to come so you would know who the Messiah is. Guillaume, do you believe the Messiah has come yet?" "No, no, no, I don't, because we, you know, Elijah first, Messiah second." "Oh, no, Messiah's already come. He's just going to come a second time." Okay, let me explain this to you. It's real simple, okay? "Oh, I'm sorry, Guillaume, didn't you just have the Day of Atonement last week?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "What did you do on the Day of Atonement to get right with God?" "Oh, that was the day that, you know, we get together, we go to synagogue and stuff, and then, you know, we do some good works and stuff." I said, "No, no, no, Guillaume. Guillaume, that's not what the Torah tells you to do. That's not what the scriptures tell you to do. Guillaume, would you consider yourself a good person?" "Yeah." "Let me ask you a question. Ten Commandments, Exodus 5, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5. You ever told a lie before?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "What would that make you?" He said, "A liar." I said, "You ever stole something before?" He said, "Yeah." "So what does it make you?" He said, "A thief." I said, "You ever lusted in your heart before?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "The Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, says if you've lusted in your heart, same as committing adultery in your heart, if you looked upon a woman with lust, someone with lust. You ever take the Lord's name in vain?" He said, "Yes, I have." I said, "That's blasphemy. That is a serious business against the God of Israel, okay? Ever been angry with somebody?" He said, "Yes, I have." And Jesus said, Yeshua, your Messiah, Mashiach, said anger without cause, same as committing murder in your heart. I said, Guillaume, you just told me you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, adulterer, and a murderer before the holy God of Israel. How could you be right with him? I said, you know what you need, Guillaume? I said, the same thing you needed on the Day of Atonement when you came before the high priest. You needed a perfect blood sacrifice. Let me explain to you what happened on the Day of Atonement. So I explained to the Jewish man what happened on the Day of Atonement, okay? He didn't know. Isn't it amazing how many Christians you meet don't really know what the faith is all about and stuff? Explained to him. Then I just walked into the New Testament and shared with him Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the perfect blood sacrifice. I said, Guillaume, the day you die, and I use this with people all the time, and it's a great simple thing to use with people. The day you die, you're going to hand God something, okay? You're going to hand him something. Most people are going to try to hand him their good works, and you're going to get rejected at the door, not getting into that place, okay? But you need to hand him the perfect blood sacrifice to get through the door where you want to go. Made complete sense to him because he came from the Jewish background. Now, I just don't do that with Jews. I do it with anybody now. I explain that perfect blood sacrifice with them and do it. A simple thing. I had a guy the other day on a plane flight. I said, let's say your shirt is perfectly white. And I took my pen out and I tapped you 30 times. Is that still a pure white shirt? He said, no. I said, if I tapped you once, is it a pure white shirt? He said, no. I said, no. I said, because it's not one dot made it impure. The God of the Bible's holy. The God you're going to meet on Judgment Day is holy. You have to be without sin to be in his presence. You better have, when you meet him, a what? Perfect blood sacrifice for your sins. It totally makes sense to me. I love word pictures. I had this with a guy the other day. Or on a plane, we're chit-chatting. I said, let's say you bought those pants at a department store. So they left a security tag on it. You come walking out the front of the store, what would have happened? Beep, 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 the alarm goes off. Okay, and I just look at the people. I said, word picture, gates of heaven same way. There's two sensors on it, okay? You go walking into heaven, only one thing's going to set the alarm off. It's going to be all of our what? Sins. But if I've been cleansed of all of my sins, can I walk through that gate when I walk out of here? Completely walk through. And it's a great word picture. I use it all the time because every one of us has seen somebody walk out of a store when the buzzer goes off, right? And it hit me one day. I was in a mall witnessing somebody. I was trying to explain it to him, and I didn't know. I was having a hard time. All of a sudden, someone walked out of the store, and the buzzer went off. I said, oh, that works. And I explained it to him, and I explained heaven the same way. And I use that word picture. It makes so much sense to people. But if I have the perfect blood sacrifice, and blood's a cleanser, it cleanses me of all my sins, I'm right with God when I walk out of here, okay? Very simple to do that. I was in the hospital in January. I had gallstones. Anyone had gallstones before? Those are a tad painful. And so I'm in the hospital twice. And I still have my gallbladder, which is good news. My one doctor wanted to take it. I said, keep your hands off my gallbladder. I said, God gave it to me. I'm going to keep it. And so I'm doing some health things to get it. So I'm in the hospital, and I'm in their emergency room a couple of times. So I'm in the emergency room, go in there, and all the doctor is pressing. He said, your gallbladder is aggravated. I'm a simple guy. I said, how do you unaggravate it? I'm a simple guy. He goes up to the dry erase board. He draws out, really good artist too. He draws out the whole body, the whole inside. He draws out the gallbladder. He said, you cut right here and you cut right here and you yank it out. And I'm laying on that bed and I'm thinking, I am so glad when I was a kid, when I aggravated my mom and dad, okay, they didn't just send me to the family down the end of the street. Okay, I'm so glad. I said, no. I said, I'll keep it. I'll do something. I'll figure out something how to get past this, okay? I'm not letting you cut it out tonight. He walks out in the hallway. I have really good ears. When I was a school teacher, my students hated me. I can't smell anything, but I can hear everything. And he was in the hallway. He said, he doesn't want an operation. Put him on another floor. All he wanted to do was cut me open and get his dollars. Is that all he wanted to do? And going, it wasn't to help me. He just wanted nickels, man. And so I go up the floor. I finally get to my room, 3 a.m. You want to do one thing and one thing only at a hospital, and that's what? Sleep. What's the only thing you can't do in a hospital? Sleep, okay? I'm at 3 a.m. I'm in my hospital room. There's a knock on the door. Maintenance, maintenance. I'm like, maintenance? It's 3 a.m. What do you mean maintenance, okay? And he comes in, Douglas. He said, I said, come in. He said, your call button's not working. I said, my call button's not? What are you talking about? No, we got a call down here. Well, how would my call you if my call button's not working? And it said it needs to be fixed. I said, check it, check it. So he checks, it's working fine. He said, oh, sorry, and did that. He starts walking. I said, excuse me, Douglas. I said, before you leave, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. I said, Douglas, are you born again? Are you saved? Okay. Now, all I want is a quick yes, I am, okay, or a no and I don't care, okay, and walk out the door. That's all I wanted from Douglas, okay? Douglas, are you born again? Are you saved? He turns, he said, interesting, you should ask me that question. I'm like, no, I don't want it to be interesting, Douglas, okay? I want to go to sleep, okay? Douglas, why is that interesting? He said, I was just down in the maintenance shed down underneath, and I was watching YouTube videos on what happens when we die. He said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure, Douglas. He said, what does the word save mean? Oh, my, my. What's it say in the book of Acts? What must I do to be saved? Douglas and I talked from 1 hour, from 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. Shared with him. He had so many good questions, and you and I got so many good what? Answers, okay? Loves to read. Gave him a couple books and stuff. He's already emailed me, and shared with him the perfect blood sacrifice and how he begins forgiven of his sins. He was so thankful. He walked out at 4 a.m., and I started praying at 4:01. I said, God, if I've gone through all of this with this gallbladder and all this crazy stuff that happened in my life, just to meet Douglas, Douglas was well worth going through all this, okay? Because when those people got questions, you and I have the perfect blood sacrifice to give to every one of them. That's what we want to do that, okay? Moms and dads, as you make these great units of families, okay? I'm on a plane flight 2 weeks ago out of Arkansas, sitting next to a lady, and she says to me, she went to the University of Arkansas. I said, she grew up in any religious faith or belief, or that's a good question. Grew up in any religious faith or belief or tradition as a child? She said, yeah, I grew up Christian. And so now that you're older, she's 30. I said, now that you're older, is it more important or less important? She said, less important. I said, why? She said, I ditched my whole faith at the University of Arkansas. I said, really? I said, why? She said, they couldn't answer the questions that I had. I said, okay. I said, fire away. Jessica turned and looked at me and for 90 minutes fired questions at me. 90 minutes. How do you know there's a God? How do you know the Bible's true? Why aren't there many paths to get to heaven? No. One path to get to heaven. And you need the perfect blood sacrifice to get on that road to do that, okay? Unbelievable. She didn't take her eyes on me for 90 minutes. Fascinating conversation, okay? Do you know college today is set up to pull your kids that you're trying to raise up in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 away from the Lord Jesus Christ? That's all it's set up for. It's not to train them to be ready for their next job. It's to pull them away from Jesus Christ. Careful. I mean, too many parents are sending one kid off to college and getting another kid back, and they don't like what's returning. Careful. Pepper questions to your kids, even in high school. Son, today in high school, tell me something you heard that was unbiblical. Great question to ask your kids. You're training them to think, okay? What did my teacher say today that was unbiblical? I need to think every day. What did you hear that was biblical today? So you're trying to give them a biblical worldview to start wrestling with things, because I know what they're going to get hammered with in college. If they're not ready for it in high school, there's a serious problem here. Do you like to read? She said, oh, I read books all the time. So I signed a book, gave it to her. Come to find out, though, the real reason was she got into certain musical groups and these jam bands where there's a lot of drugs and a lot of partying. She just wanted to party. And she knew the God of the Bible said, no, you need to strive to live a holy life to be right with me, okay? And she, you know, she said her problem, though, is her mom's been praying for her. Her husband's mother, so her mother-in-law is a strong, she said, you sound like my mother-in-law, okay, and do that stuff. And it was very complimentary, okay, and do that. But a great chance to give her the perfect blood sacrifice to do it, okay? The girl next to me on the plane flight yesterday, Ayla, do you like to read? She said, yeah, I'm sitting here reading a book right now. And she was sitting there, I could see that. And I said, really? I said, how many books do you think you've read in your life? Probably over 1,000. Seriously? Yeah, I read 200 books 1 year and do that. Big, huge reader. What do you think happens when you die? Bingo, she's off into all this New Agey stuff, okay? Interesting New Agey stuff. She got a lot of it from her. She was reading the wrong things, and it was pulling her into a whole different world. So don't we want to put something good in their hands and do that? Sure. And then we explained to her again why you need the perfect blood sacrifice to be right with the holy God and do that. So again, you don't understand where they're coming from as you meet these people and do that. So easy way to get started, say, hey, can I ask an interesting question? I use that all the time. Hey, can I ask an interesting question? What's everybody say? Sure, what do you got? And just ask the question, when you die, what do you think's on the other side? Or if you die tonight, are you 100% assured you go to heaven? Just ask a question. Hey, why do you believe that? Okay? And then just get started and get going there, okay? Hey, what do you think happens when you die? So do you think it'd be good enough to be right with God? Interesting. You ever heard the term perfect blood sacrifice? No. Okay, let me explain. It's very interesting. And you just walk them through and explain it, how they have to have the sin to be rid of it, okay? Now, Watch this. Can Satan stop this group right here from us sharing our faith in the next 24 hours, yes or no? The answer is absolutely no. And I can prove it biblically. Satan couldn't stop 12 people from 2,000 years ago. How's he stop 500 or 600 people in 2014? He actually can't. We stop ourselves by coming up with some excuse. Oh, they won't listen to me. I don't have the perfect speaking voice like Moses had. Okay. I can't answer every question. Well, wait a minute. If you're praying for divine appointments, how do you not know you're the one that's going to have the answer to the one question they're struggling with? Okay? I don't have to answer every question. This universe screams there's a creator. I dust for fingerprints all the time. I'm having an atheist Delta pilot next to me on a flight. I'm trying to witness to him. It's not going well. I said, do you like to read? He said, I love to read. Sign a book, explain it, give it to him. He does his Sudoku or whatever, so I'm just reading. He pulls the book out, reads a little bit. He looks at me and said, not convincing me, not convincing me. Okay, trying to be a smart aleck underneath my skin, okay? He's a Delta pilot. I don't have to convince him. He has a front window to his plane. He looks outside every day. He sees the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the oceans, and the sand, and the snowflakes, and his co-pilot, the human body, next to him, okay? If there's a creator to this simple little podium, a plane, there has to be a creator to this universe that we sit in today. There has to be, okay? I just dust for fingerprints. When I dust, I see a sunrise. That's the fingerprints of God. My sister's an atheist. She has a baby. When the baby popped out, she knew instantly there was a God. She didn't know who it was, though. She got saved 2 years later after people started witnessing to her and stuff and do that, okay? I just dust. 9/11, that's the fingerprints. Fingerprints of Satan. I walked in Mancy's last night, and I remember Mancy's because 2 years ago when I was there, I sat at a table, two couples were, I said, go ahead and you sit with me. I was in the bar, you just sit with me. And we just start chit-chatting. What do you think happens when you die? All of a sudden, the wife looked at her husband. She looked back and said, our daughter was on the first plane flight that hit the first World Trade Center tower on 9/11, 2001. Okay, their daughter was on that plane flight. I said, ma'am, when did you know? She said, no, I knew that morning. I said, really, how'd you know? She said, because I'm a mom. I didn't get the phone call till 4 or 5 in the afternoon, but I knew I was a mom. Dad starts tearing up. He had 3 boys and 1 girl, and that was his girl. Okay, and girl was gone, okay? Both Roman Catholic couples, fascinating talk about life and death, what happens, why Jesus Christ with them, okay? Fingerprints of Satan. I walked into the bathroom one day at one of my schools after a 15-year-old student put a gun in his mouth and shot himself, laying there dead as can be on the floor. I'm looking at Michael. I said, Michael, I see your body. I said, Michael, where's your soul at? Where's your soul at? I just dust. That's the fingerprints of Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning. Right? Murder from the beginning. So I just dust for fingerprints. The evidence of God is everywhere out there. But what they don't understand is why they need the perfect blood sacrifice. Okay? But if you have the perfect blood sacrifice, you shall be in the heavenlies with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. Anyone glad you got the perfect blood sacrifice? Okay, so very easy to explain to people. Take them through the sin of the Ten Commandments. Walk them right through the perfect blood sacrifice, and trust me, it makes a lot of sense to a lot of people, but it's going to make the most sense to the holy God when you get to hand him the perfect blood sacrifice, cleansed of all your sins forever and ever and ever. Okay, let's pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.monclovabaptist.org.